good singing all the way around. I think it came on, didn't it? Yeah. Take your Bible, if you will, please. We're going to be looking over there in the book of Ecclesiastes. You'll find the place. We'll be looking there in Ecclesiastes. And we'll look at a passage there just in a moment. Ecclesiastes in chapter number 8. All right? Ecclesiastes chapter number 8. I want to preach tonight about the word of the Lord. And let me tell you something, is that whenever I talk about the Word of God, I'm talking about the old King James Bible. And we'll look at a few things here tonight that are in the Bible that we ought to be able to hide in our heart, that we not sin against God, that we could teach transgressors His ways. All right, in Ecclesiastes in chapter 8, verse 4, where the word of a king is, there's power. And who may say unto him, what doest thou? Now, Father, we ask your blessings upon the reading of the word, and we do thank you for it, how good it is once again be back here in the house of God. We thank you for the word of the Lord, thy word is true. And we thank you, Lord, that it's been tried, that it's been proven. And we thank you, dear God, for leaving it to us and giving us the Holy Spirit of God to lead, guide, and direct us into all the truth. Thy word is the truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you and be seated. Now, before that there ever was an old King James Bible, that's the English-speaking people, but you'll find that the Bible was in the Old Testament, Hebrew, and the New Testament, and the Greek. And let me say to you that, if you will, that I hold in my hand tonight the only Bible that is on the market that was sanctioned and approved by a king. His name was King James. No other version has that credibility about them. In fact is that when you begin to look into these passages that are here, you'll find somebody will come up and argue against, well, King James was a queer. I don't know if he was a queer or not. Some say yes, some say no, it doesn't matter. He didn't translate the Bible. He just was in authority as a king to be able to allow those 1,000 men that was called the millenary petition, and they petitioned the king, let us translate the Bible into the English language. And as a result of that, he did, but he wanted to make sure somebody wasn't trying to flim-flam him. And so they divided it up. They started out with about 50-something men. I want to say 55, 4 or 5. And some of them died off. Some of them were scared off. And ended up with 47 men that was going to translate from the old King James Bible. Now, all the manuscripts that are given, in the mind of God, there's only two Bibles. And one of them is the Textus Receptus, where the King James Bible has been translated from. That's in the short version. And the other one is the Alexandrian manuscripts that came from Alexandria, Egypt, that are so full of error and so erroneous that the forefathers throwed some of them in the garbage dump. In the lesson that we're looking at here tonight, you're going to find out is that out of those manuscripts that we're talking about, some 5,039, somewhere along in there, 37, 39. Anyhow, they agree with each other 95% of the time. The 5% discrepancy is what the argument is with all other versions against the old King James. Now, I will tell you this, all other versions have one thing in common. They all of them equally hate the old King James Bible. They just do. And let me tell you, did you know until the old King James Bible was translated and finally came out on the market, is that you'll find out that the reason they hate it so, that I hold in my hand, this is a pro-Christ Bible. Any other version you hold up is a pro-Catholic version. And they follow the line and the lineage of that. Now, I don't have time to be able to dive into everything that we're going to want to, but what we're going to do is that we're going to look at and see that whenever you look at the old King James Bible, that a man that was a king by the name of James, and he lived in England, and that the King James Bible is a product that comes from England. Now, watch this. Do you know what time it is tonight? Anybody know what time it is? Well, it's about, according to mine, it's about 25 till. Is that about what you got? I got 7:32. 7:32? Well, yeah, you've got one of them automatic watches. Well, I got 7:34. You're 2 minutes off. No. Not really. Somebody, you got a time? What time's on your little alarm band there? Oh, that's a rubber band. Excuse me. You know what the real time is? Let me tell you. It comes from Greenwich, England. I don't know how many different watches you've got, but all the world is tuned in to absolute time, and it's all of it programmed in Greenwich, England. Did you know that? You know what absolute time is? Comes from England. Did you ever notice that? In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, of course, I could care less what time it is. It's just as long as you wake me up next for the next meal or whatever that it is. But notice that, if you will, that in the Bible, that the Bible teaches us is that we ought to be very careful that we don't take away from or add to the blessed word of the Lord. Look over here in the book of Revelation. There's a passage. I want you to just mark it and hold it there. But it's over in Revelation in chapter number 22. And you can find the place and hold it there. And then we'll look at another couple of places. Over there in the book of Deuteronomy, the Bible said that you're not to add to nor diminish from the word of the Lord. In Deuteronomy chapter number 4, I want to say to you, the Bible said over in the book of Proverbs, and I believe it's in about chapter number 23, that you're not to add to it unless you be found to be a liar. Let me tell you something. God's pretty particular about his word. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you, if somebody's going to ask you one of these days, well, you know, why in the world do you believe the King James Bible is the word of God? Well, every time I pull it out, it makes you nervous. Only people who make something like that's a religious but lost person. And let me tell you, you know, over there in the book of Acts, where was it? In chapter number 24, somewhere along in there, is that over there that there was a man by the name of Felix, not the cat, but Felix and his wife. And do you remember over there that Paul the Apostle was talking to him? And as a result of that, you'll find out that he finally got so nervous. His wife's name was Drusilla. That ought to have made him nervous a little bit. But anyhow, nonetheless, is that you'll find out is that after 2 years, Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show himself to the Jews, left Paul there bound. And here's what ended up happening. He got to talking to these men, and they got under such conviction about it as to where that they said, you know what, I'm going to have to wait and hear thee another day on this subject. And you know, after 2 years, they still hadn't heard the truth of God. Every time you pull out the old King James Bible, it's going to make somebody somewhere nervous. I'm glad to be able to know that God disturbed me about it one time till he showed me myself like he saw me and gave me the grace of God to call upon his name. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, let me say to you that absolute time is English time. Let me tell you also, too, do you know that absolute location is English location? Like right now, I'm going to give you coordinates, and you ain't got to jump on it. You probably remember from last and years gone by. I try to preach at least once a year on this subject. But there's a terminology called longitude and latitude. And that's what they use for planes. That's what they use for ships and all of that business there. Now, there's an invisible line called the zero line that comes all the way down the earth. And as a result of it, longitude and latitude, the zero line at Greenwich, England. And if tonight I gave you this coordinates right here, 31.6035 degrees north, 94.6555 degrees west. One of them's longitude the north, latitude the other one. Do you realize, though, that everybody in this world that was in the military and that had to do with that could tell you exactly from that coordinates exactly where that is? It's in Nacogdoches, Texas. Now, isn't that amazing how that if you want to be able to locate somebody somewhere, every time they give a longitude and latitude, it's in relation to where Greenwich, England is, and that's how they tell where you are. Here's one here that may be a little closer to home, 31.7163 north, that's latitude, and 94.609 degrees west longitude. Do you realize that? Oh, that's Appleby, where we are right now. If they wanted to send something and drop it and annihilate this place where we're at tonight, and I'm hoping they don't, but I'm heaven bound and hell proof about it if it does. But if I gave that coordinates That comes, that's where we are in relation to Greenwich, England. Do you know what we're talking about? Absolute time is tied to England. Absolute location is tied to England. Then why is it amazing to people that absolute truth came from England? See what I'm talking about? Do you know it's not just a coincidence that that were to happen? Make no mistake about it. I got to tell you right up front that I'm glad that God's given me some things like that to be able to grab hold of. Now, you know, I grew up in every old King James Bible believing preacher that, and there wasn't many, but everyone that we did, why do you believe the King James Bible's the Word of God? Well, I'll tell you why, because I believe it's what Paul used. Paul didn't use it. Wasn't even in existence then. They were using Hebrew and Greek and things like that. I said all that to be able to say this. Thank God for them old preachers that stood by the stuff. They didn't know where it came from. Fact is, and since I've been here 31 years, I've talked to many a preacher that have, hey, what are you preaching on Sunday? Or what did you preach on last Sunday? And when I talk to them about the King James Bible, I've had more than one say, I'm going to be honest with you, preacher. I don't even have enough intelligence about the subject to have an intelligent conversation with you. You know what my answer to that is? Shame on you. Shame on you. See? I don't want to be ugly or rude about it and all that business there, but let me tell you, the Bible teaches us that we'd better be careful about what we're doing, what we allow and don't allow, and so forth and on. Now, in Revelation, did I tell you to turn there? Chapter number 22. I want you to look at a couple of passages with me. Now, the Bible said, verse 18, Revelation 22, verse 18. He says, now, for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, talking about the Bible. If any man shall add to these things, God doesn't want us adding nothing. God shall add to him the plagues that are written in the book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. He said, he which testifieth these things saith, surely I come quickly, amen. Even so, Lord Jesus, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Two verses there, 18 and 19, is that we're not to add to it. We're not to take away from it. Now, do you know anybody that does that? Well, as a matter of fact, we do. I want you to look in verse number 18 whenever it says that you're not to add to it. You know what the Mormons have added to it? Another testament, they claim, of Jesus Christ. That's a lie. But that's what they've added to it. You can't, in their eyes, you can't really know what the Bible said till you read the extra book, the Book of Mormons, that was given unto them. Not only that, but you're going to find out they added to it. The Roman Catholic Church, they've added tradition and they added the apocryphal books. Did you ever see about that? In verse number 19, God says we're not to take away from it. Do you know that if you've got a new international version, there's been over 64,098 word changes in it? Now you talk about people that added to and take away from. The New American Standard Version has over 36,000 word changes in it. The New King James Bible had over 5,000 word changes that adds to and takes away from the Word of the Lord. Now, I'm going to tell you right now is that when you begin to look into the Bible, and when God said that he preserved his word, where did he preserve it? If he didn't preserve it here, where did he preserve it? See? Somebody said, well, you know, in the originals, hold the phone a minute, man. I was born at night, but it wasn't last night. There are no more originals. Every scholarly man in the world can tell you that. There's no such thing as an original anymore. And the closest thing that we'd ever have to is right here in my hand. In this Bible lesson that you're looking at over there in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 2 and about verse 17, the Bible said we are not as many of as them that corrupt the word of the Lord. You know, when you're going to mess with the word of the Lord, you're corrupting it. Do you know, realize and know that whenever you don't receive it and you go to corrupting it and all of that business there, that all these versions that I mentioned tonight, you know what the word corrupt means? Well, if you were to look it up in its entirety, one of the words it means is to peddle. We're not as many as them that are peddling the Word of God. We're not just trying to make money off selling another version. The New American Standard says, for we're not as many as peddling the Word of God. The NIV said, we're unlike so many, we do not peddle the Word of God for profit. The New King James Version said, we are not as many as peddling the Word of God. Remember over there in 2 Peter chapter number 2 and about verse number 3, whenever he said, we're not going to make merchandise of you. When we preach to you, we're not going to be making merchandise of you. We're going to preach the Word of the Lord. Heaven's going to be real and hell's going to be hot. And we're going to preach the Word of the Lord. But the Bible said, and he warned every the preacher in the world, and he said over in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, verse 9 through 11, he says that the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some have coveted after. Now let me ask you this. You know the reason they're not going to get rid of all these other versions? Too much money in them. Too much money. Do you realize, you know, how much money that they're making off these other versions? And let me tell you, all the other versions that we've talked about, they're going to, whenever I was a kid growing up, there was that lying Bible called the Living Bible. Then you'll find out is that there was bad news for every man, which they called it good news for every man. And there was a Revised Standard Version that was out, and there was this version, the Amplified Version that was out. And let me tell you right now, I don't know how many more now in the day and hour that we're living in, but every one of them all of a sudden have got a new author, and they decide to sell another caseload, trainload, plane load of their version of the Bible. Money is the bottom line on that. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to find out some people sell out for pleasure. Some people sell out for profit. There's some people that sell out, you know, for possessions. Some people sell out for a position that they might be able to gain. You know, the Bible said that you and I ought to buy the truth and sell it not. I tell you what you ought to do is you ought to hang on to it and you ought to hold on to it. And not just blind leading the blind, but we're talking about with some intelligence of being able to know what thus saith the Lord and where it came from and how God preserved it. In this lesson you're looking at, remember a man by the name of Esau? You know what he was doing at the last when he was dying? He cried and sought no place of repentance, so he sought it with tears. He found no place of repentance and because he had sold his birthright. Remember Judas Iscariot that we mentioned here the other day? He sold out Jesus for 30 pieces of silver, went back, tried to throw it down to the money changers, repented himself but not to the Lord, went out and hung himself because of the fact that he didn't believe God in the Bible. I remember over there a fellow by the name of Demas, Paul the Apostle, and here's what he said. Demas has forsaken me loving this present world. Now I got to tell you, you go to letting the world get too much on you, and that's what's wrong with the average Baptist church. What's end up happening is that we've tried to make the world more churchy and the church more worldly. That's where we're at in the day and hour we're living in. In this Bible lesson here, and I can't tell you the people that have told me, well, I don't care, preacher. I'm going to do what I want to do and believe what I want to believe. You have it your way and I'll have it my way and all that business there. Well, you'll never grow in the grace and love and knowledge of the Lord like that. You just won't. There's a way, the Bible said, that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I got to say to you is that all the other versions that are on the market, every one of them, without exception, have one thing in common, and that is they all hate the old King James Bible. Now, the Bible's got 3,568,489 letters in it. 810,697 words in it, 31,175 verses in it, 1,189 chapters in it. I want to tell you right now is, buddy, you're going to find out is that this is a pretty extensive book. I was thinking about when you looked into it in the mind of God, there's only two Bibles. That is the Textus Receptus. That's where the King James Bible was translated from those manuscripts. And the other one's the Alexandria manuscripts that were in Alexandria, Egypt. And there's never been anything good and prosperous come out of Egypt yet. See? As a result of that, you're going to find out that Jesus said over there in Matthew chapter 4, about verse number 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When we first started out with this kind of deal here, when we first started out preaching the Word of the Lord and defending the old King James Bible, actually, we're not defending it, we're just telling the truth about it, and it defends itself. You can turn him loose, it'll take care of itself. But you know, when we first started out, somebody said, well, now, you know, the verse may be worded a little bit different, but the concept is the same. Well, hold the phone a minute. Let me put another quarter in. Actually, it's going to be more like 75 cents now. It used to be 2 bits. Now it's probably higher than that, if there even is one. But hold the phone a minute. Let me put a little bit more money in. When you go to saying that the concept is there, it doesn't say in the Bible that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every concept, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let me tell you, tonight when you drove up to this building pretty close. Now you have walked into this building. That's more than a concept, buddy. That's a two-lettered word that tells exactly where you are. In this Bible lesson that we're looking at, you're going to be able to find out that God promised. You know, the Bible said that the Lord gave the word, and great is the company that published it. And let me tell you, we don't have time to be able to go into all of the names and people and stuff that had to do with that. But I will tell you, God promised that he'd keep his word pure from generation to generation forever until that he comes again. I want to say to you as we begin to look into this lesson here is that you want to make very sure that you are busy believing what God said and not trying to pervert the word of the Lord to be able to suit your own fancy. I got to tell you, whenever you're looking for the right time, it's in England. When you're looking for the right location, it comes out of England. When you're looking for the right truth, the right book, the right Bible, the book comes from England. And let me tell you, it came by the authority. Now, you know, this is the only Bible. Now, outside of a crown copyright, there's no copyright on the Bible. You can't copyright what God had to say. All the other versions are copyrighted. You can't copy anything out of them. I don't even know why you'd want to, you know, unless you wanted something stinking around your house or something like that. I've got pretty much every version there is that's on the market. Well, more than I'll ever need, but I've got several different copies of different versions just so that I can compare them, just so I can be able to prove them wrong, so forth and on. In this Bible that we're looking at here, absolute truth I hold in my hand. I believe the word of God, and I believe that it came by the authority of a king, and that those 1,000 men that were in the millenary petition that petitioned him and said, let us be able to translate the Bible, and we'll do it in the English language in honor of you as King James. Now, I want to say to you that, if you will, that when you begin to notice that and those things that are here, is that there's a couple of things, and we'll close and we'll be done with it. I got to say to you that I don't know about you, but I'm glad my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. In the book of 1 Corinthians, if I remember right, turn there, chapter number 1, 1 Corinthians, in chapter number 1. And I'm going to close here with this right here pretty quickly. And 1 Corinthians in chapter number 1, if you find the place, I want you to look about verse number 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But to us which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you know if you had another version of the Bible, it would say, but to us which are being saved. I'm not being saved tonight, I'm saved. You talk about hell-proof and heaven-bound, but I am. And so are you if you know the Lord Jesus in the free pardon of sin. I want you to notice that, if you will, please, in verse 25, same chapter. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Do you realize, though, that in verse number 21, as we read the verse to sum that up, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Did you ever notice, is that up and down the road of life, fewer and fewer churches are preaching much anymore? Most of the time, they've got something going on in the way of philosophy or vain deceit. Now, you know what philosophy is? Philosophy deals with the intellect. It makes people feel good about themselves like they are without the need to repent. But when the Bible is preached, buddy, when the old King James Bible is preached, it lays a demand at the heart's door. Till God grants repentance and God grants faith that you might be born again. Nicodemus, he told him, he said, "Marvel not that I've said unto thee, ye must be born again." Now that's a crash course, many course on the King James Bible and where it came from. I grew up believing the old King James Bible just because, well, that's what they told me ought to. And if the Apostle Paul, if he wanted to use it, I was going to use it too. And I didn't find out till later on, that's not a good argument. But tonight I've given you a pretty good argument. And if you don't remember anything in the world except absolute location, absolute time, absolute location, absolute truth, make no mistake about it, all the world may not like it, but we're all tied to it. You know, they all hate the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know that our calendar doesn't care? But do you realize, though, that here we are in March, the year of 2025 of our Lord? That means after that he had died. See? I'm glad to say that without a doubt, I want to thank God for the fact that we have the word of the Lord that we can hide in our heart and that we can hold in our hand. Let's stand to our feet, our heads are bowed. Our Father, I want to thank you for loving us while we've been unlovable. And Lord, we thank and praise you that thou art God, and beside thee there's none else. We pray if there's one lost and undone without God tonight, that you'd trouble their heart till they find peace with thee.